part of this evening. If you'll get your handbook and turn to page 248. 248 will be verses 1, 2, and 4.
Thank you.
house this evening, and always blessed and honest. Thank you for giving us some rain here in the last couple of days, and you know, letting it be a very measured rain, particularly compared to what they got down at some of the beaches. I know it was pretty bad down there. I don't know if anybody knows anybody that lives down there. We got rain down at Atlantic Beach. I don't know. Did Megan say anything about problems? Or I think down in Carolina Beach, they got around 20 inches of rain.
Yeah.
That's what I heard on the radio. So, are they okay? Oh. Usually stuff like that, no news is good news, so we'll hope for the best. It seems to be a storm that caused leaks, though. We woke up with some drips on that seat. What's today? Yesterday morning? Yeah, yesterday morning. Get to the shop, there were a couple of new wet spots on the ceiling there, and I had a place I was supposed to go to install a computer. She said, you better wait till tomorrow. It's kind of wet in here. So, I don't know. Apparently, it was a very leaky storm, despite the fact that it wasn't that much rain. Probably had to do with what direction the wind was blowing from. I don't know. But, Lord bless, got up on the ladder yesterday. I guess I got the leaks fixed. I don't know. I found spots that looked like they could use patching, and it kind of was where the wet was on the inside of the roof. So, I don't know. I won't find out next go, I guess. But, just appreciate the Lord's grace in helping us with stuff like that. And, you know, really, it's easy to get worried about, and you know, yesterday morning I was worried when I got up, and it was, I mean, because they were pretty big drips. I half expected to go out in the yard and see shingles everywhere, but it was all right, so we're really, really thankful Lord for that, and just these blessings on us. And also, I don't know how many of y'all saw it, and I want to say the guy's last name was Lynn. But maybe some other people saw this on the internet. There's been a missionary that's been in prison in China for 20 years that has just been released back to the United States. And so his family was very glad that that was the case. And my understanding is it's one of those deals where the Chinese Communist Party didn't like what he did and came up with some thing. You know,
yeah.
Came up with something that he did. And he's been rotten in jail over it, and regardless of how the Lord moved to bring this to pass, I'm not sure of the sort of the machinations of it all, but as far as I know, he's in the United States as we speak, so really appreciate the Lord stepping in and helping him there. I know we got a lot of things tonight to pray for. He's got a request of prayer, but lift it in. Amen. Remember all these. Probably a lot of you have heard Brother Roger Gillum went on to be with the Lord. Was it what night was it?
Monday.
Jenny texted me, and I probably you knew that she worked out there with Angie and Cheryl for
I guess
a while out there.
They called me one day.
Oh, they called you? Okay.
Well, Mount Calvary's got like a little thing that calls out, and we're still going to call out this.
Oh.
So like anytime anything went on. They got like a machine that
makes
a recording on that calls everybody.
Huh, that's cool. That's like, that's old school.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
But seriously, they remember Miss Cheryl in prayer. And, you know, it's one of those things, we know where Roger is.
Yeah.
You know, as much as we can know about anybody else, I always say this, we can only know for sure about ourselves, but every indication is that Brother Roger is in the presence of the Lord, very godly, very devout man, very faithful to the church over the years. He's going to be greatly missed, but, you know, only for a little season, right?
Yeah.
So, and I know to an extent, in one way, I'm sure it will be somewhat of a relief to Miss Cheryl. I know she's going to miss him more than the relief accounts for, but I know it's been very difficult for her to minister to him over the time that he's been sick, but also she has been very faithful. I know there is a reward that is waiting for them, the faithfulness of a spouse, you know, in that situation. And just, you know, seeing that has been very encouraging, how she's always looked after him and everything. You know, I've only been sort of kind of related to that, because if there's something going on with her computer, most of the time she's not there because she was at home, you know, taking care of Roger. So I kind of knew about that a little bit. Just pray for that family. And I remember Miss Brenda, Christina, was telling me that evidently the hemlock did not take care of her strep, and she's still got it. So pray that maybe this second round will go. You know, Preacher Billy kind of the same thing. They're struggling to get them antibiotics to do what they needed to do. So pray for them and Miss Vivian. Very glad to see them back here this evening. Amen. Amen. Y'all are always missed. And of course, we all are. You know, everybody, when you're out, we miss you. Continue to remember Brother Robert. Lord, help him with the various stuff he's got going on there. He's saying that the stomach stuff's pretty well cleared up. So I thank the Lord for that. And a little bit of that going around the stomach thing. Up here and there. What about is Colby? Is he doing better?
Yeah, he's got a real hard cough now. He's coughed up.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So remember him. And Christina told me about a situation with your coworker, wasn't it? Who was it that you knew that passed away?
Yeah. Well, pray for a family in Dill Kaiser. He went to court. He's pregnant.
Oh, Frank. Okay.
He passed away. Back, I guess it was Sunday, and he's real good friends with Jeff Worthen, and he's a man that I lived with whenever I was a teenager. Anyways, pray for him, so he's out in the Navy, certainly. But also, do for me, is that this, a couple of kids in his school, he got wrecked and got killed today.
Oh, man.
And so, pray for them, man, pray for their students.
Yeah.
And there's a boy I work with, his name is Matthew Hewlett. Pray for my co-workers and everybody, and pray for me. He worked out. He's the only one. I talked to him more than anybody, but he worked out beside me. Just me and him out there together in the corner.
Yeah.
And you know, he was. I considered him a friend. And he said he come in and told me back in May that he got saved. He never gone in church faith anywhere, but he was in AA because he was trying to recover from alcoholism. And his sponsor was a Christian, and witnessed to him, told him how to be saved. He said that he got saved, and before that, he professed to be an atheist. So I don't know, like to say, you can't know that's been him, Lord, but just I'm glad for my sake, anyway, that the Lord saw fit to at least do something to where that he could say that, and
yeah.
I could have some hope.
Yeah,
you know. Yeah, just pray for, he didn't really have any family, just his mom, and she's not really around very long, and he doesn't really have anybody besides the people he works with, so just pray for him.
Amen. Remember these. Continue to remember Brother Fred. Is he still doing okay?
He got to come home today. So
oh, he did?
He's
okay.
At home. Jason's where Jason's at. He went and brought him home.
Okay.
But just still pray for, you know, the pain. I think he's in a lot of pain. And then pray for all, you know, his brother, Jesse's brothers and sisters as they try to take care of him at home.
Yeah.
And then just remember all the, you know, the students that some of them saw the accident happen. It was right as school let out, like right after school let out. And some bus kids saw it, and a lot of kids saw what happened. And so just pray for them and pray for the ones, of course, that passed away, their families.
Yeah.
Luckily, Cooper had already got out before it happened.
Yeah, appreciate the Lord watching over Cooper.
Pray for Greg tonight. He's in the hospital right now. Brother Greg's doing well.
Uh-huh.
He, man that messaged earlier said that he was at work this morning early, like 2 in the morning, said he's hurting. Or maybe we left hurting. He was having like episodes of shaking. Was he hurting? Yeah, they said, well, she said that he's shaking. They found out, they said that they think it's seizures. They've done some scans. They haven't heard anything back. They've been in the hospital. Yeah, they said that he'd been having seizures all day. So they got him in the hospital. And she said that they got him sedated, and they're just trying to wait for response. So just pray that they get some answers tonight, that they get him treated. Just pray that it's a swift, accurate treatment,
yeah.
Whatever's going on. And we know that we can trust the Lord. Just pray for Amanda. Pray for the girls. God, just give them peace. And, just come from and remind them he needs control.
Yeah. What hospital is he at?
Apollo.
Tom, okay. He don't have a history of epilepsy or nothing, does he? Okay. You got to definitely remember that.
My neighbor can't. He has still some swelling and speak for somebody that I know there. I found this out a couple days ago that their dad said his mental issues and stuff, and their dad set their house on fire, and this was like 3 a.m. in the morning. Everybody got out alive, and everybody was okay, but they lost everything, except for the cause of having them back and stuff. So I pray for, the guy's name is Zach Bay, pray for him and his family to look at that story down, so.
Amen. Amen. Remember this. Definitely remember a pastor this evening as he comes to preach, and I don't know if we're getting a family message part two. It's kind of open, so I was looking forward to it anyway. But whatever the Lord's got for him, just pray the Lord would use him to prepare us to receive it. And the Lord would make us the church that he would have us to be. And definitely continue to remember our nation. I do appreciate the Lord watching out for President Trump again. You know, on Sunday, I didn't know anything about it until the next day. But, I mean, I don't really watch TV news anyway, and especially not on Sunday. I mean, you got to have a break, you know what I mean? And the Lord's going to, whether I know about it or not, does not affect the Lord taking care of the things that are going on in this world. So I don't have to feel like, you know, I have to be keeping an eye out every single day. You know, God knows what's going on. Makes you think what Preacher Billy always said about laying awake at night. He said, Lord's going to be awake in the sense of most of us being awake. But that's very true. But I just pray that the Lord would work on him, and that he would cause him to always look to the Lord. I know he has a tendency to be prideful, but guess what? I do too.
Yeah.
You know? So just pray that God's will be done. As our pastor's been saying, we got a responsibility, we have a stewardship, and the rest is up to God. We do what he's called us to do. That's actually in the Proverbs. You may have mentioned this, but there's somewhere where it says, you know, something about, you know, the righteous, when he sees the trouble coming, he hides himself. But the fool just goes on and is punished. You know, when he gives us sense enough to see when trouble's coming. If we can do something about it, we ought to do something about it. But we can't. You know, ain't like we're trusting ourselves. But, you know, in the end, what is our effort amount to? You know, it's all whether or not it's faithful, really. You know. So definitely pray for our nation. Who else has got a request this evening?
I just want to thank the Lord for just watching out for me and Whitley and the kids Saturday. We were going to Carowinds and stopped to get some breakfast, and we were at the light at Walmart and Shelby, and a Jeep ran the light at Ingalls, and then a white car T-boned them, and the white car shot and hit us head on at Walmart. But luckily, none of us got hurt. I got a little contusion and some soreness from the seatbelt, but the kids were fine and Whitley was fine.
Amen.
So, and nobody really got hurt at all bad in that. I mean, but she hit us head on. We were at a dead stop. Mm. So, just thank the Lord for keeping us safe.
Amen. 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 Seen a lot of instances recently of the Lord just stepping in and watching over people.
Amen.
Yes, Friday. Yes, amen. Amen. Remember this. Matthew's brother-in-law. In my brain, they kept crossing up because it was Jesse's cousin. And my brain kept trying to mix up who's cousin and who's, you know, brother-in-law. Sorry about that. But yeah, I definitely remember these families.
This morning, there was a wreck at my school. One of my best friends is in the hospital because of it. We're calling for
him. So you're at East Burke?
No, I'm at Fort.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. But no, I never remember that, too.
Appointment, and something always happens.
our brother Randy, of course.
Yeah.
He'll get healed up there. How is, I never see Dean and Christine are here. Are they okay?
So.
Thank you.
good to be in the Lord's house tonight. Thank God. I'm just coming in and be together. Amen. We'll come and worship together. I'm going to speak with you. Let's be here.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank the Lord for that. God, thank you for his blessings.
Amen.
He's good to us. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I appreciate everyone being out, being here tonight. You know, my mom, she's talking about, she said, I want to go to that bridge service. And I said, the bridge service? I said, we talking about that. You know, that little thing they give her over at the rest home in College Pines, it said, Wednesday night, 7 p.m. bridge service. And she's been going to church services over on Sunday mornings. And she said she wanted to go to that bridge service. I was thinking about that. And that's a good name for it. Because it sort of bridges one Sunday to the next, don't it? You know? I mean, you know, it's almost like if you go up to a river without a bridge, it's kind of hard to cross.
Yeah.
You get to a ravine without a river, it's kind of hard to cross.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard for me to go through a week without having a Wednesday night.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
But it's a good little bridge service, you know? I'm thankful for that. I wonder if anybody's got a song they want to sing tonight before we get started. Go ahead, girls. I hope you young men think never ashamed to stand and sing for the Lord.
Hey.
Something you ought not be ashamed of.
Yeah.
Amen. I know it's scary. It's scary for me. I'm a big old fat, brave man. Get up there and stand in front of everybody, that takes some guts. I'm proud of you. I want you to know that.
Hey.
Let's do it for the Lord.
Oh. Thank you.
It's good.
Go ahead.
Appreciate that, it's good.
Sit down, dude.
Yeah, it's kind of funny, the thing you mentioned in the second verse of the song, so every once in a while, it'll make me think of it, especially we have the phrase, "Here I raise my Ebenezer," it's like, oh, that's not what that's talking about, but. But I am thankful for, you know, the Lord giving us those Ebenezer times. Probably most of us know the account, or at least have a sort of a memory or an idea of it, but what had happened is Israel had gotten away from the Lord, and the Lord brought them to a place of repentance, and when they came there to repent, then their enemies saw them gathered together, and they said, "We're going to go fight them."
Yeah.
I mean, that's what the devil does, isn't it?
Yeah.
We try to get a little bit close to the Lord, and there the devil shows up. Samuel said, you know, he offered, he prayed before the Lord, and he said, "Don't you worry about it. You know, God's got this." And he raised up that stone, Ebenezer, and that means the stone of help. And it wasn't that they were looking to that rock for help. That rock was pointing to the one that was their help.
Yeah.
Right? And that was the point of that, was to be the witness for the Lord, how he had brought them to that place. And that's really what I think of a lot of times when, you know, when we sing this song.
Come now, fount of every blessing, to my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for song.
Preaching that, That's not what we're gonna do.
That's right.
We're gonna look at it, the context is written. We're gonna look at it from the Word of God. Amen.
Amen.
And we ain't just gonna take one sentence out of the Word of God and make it into what we want it to be.
Yeah.
We're gonna take the Word of God for what it is.
Amen. Amen.
Have your Bibles, and we're in John in chapter number 10 and verse number 1. Jesus says here, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. He that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. When he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then Jesus said unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word tonight, God. And pray, Lord, that you touch the reading of it, God, and that you'd open our hearts and minds to receive your word. Lord, that you just move in this service as only you can. And I pray that you bring us conviction, bring us encouragement from your word, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we beg. May he be exalted in everything tonight. Amen. And we thank you for standing. Talking about an abundant life.
Yeah.
Amen. I have to say that since I became a Christian, since God saved my soul, my sorrows have increased. You weren't expecting that, was you? Just being honest tonight. My worries have increased. My anxiety has increased. Never knew what depression was until I became a Christian preacher.
Right.
Never did. But in saying all that, I can still honestly say this. I have a more abundant life. And you say, well, what do you mean by that? I'm talking about that word means excessive. Now, when he says that they might have life and have it more abundantly, he's talking about an excessiveness to life itself. He's not saying that you'll have an excessive bank account. He has not said that he came that you might have an excessive retirement. He's not saying that you might have an excessive amount of trouble-free times. What he's saying is this. He's saying that you've got life, and he's not just talking about the breath that's in your nostrils. God already gave you that. Whenever he was born in this world, Jesus said, I came to not have life. He's talking about true, eternal life, a life that never fades away. And he said, a life that is more abundant than what you already have. He's talking about one that is more excessive than anything you can get anywhere else. And so whenever he says he came to give life, he's talking about life that is beyond what we can understand of life. You say, well, preacher, what do you mean? I'm trying to preach it to you as best as man can, but I want to say this. I believe outside of heaven that we have a limited, we have a vulnerable, we have a finite understanding to the point to where we can't even begin to put into words the magnitude of what's going on here in this scripture.
Yeah.
Whenever he says he came to give us life, that we might have life and have it more abundantly.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't even believe that we can fully explain that, but tonight I just want to give you this message, and I hope it's an encouragement to you, and I hope it's a blessing to you. But let's start here, verse number one. And like I said, I don't always do things this way, but I just wanted to lay out the format for you there tonight. And we'll go back into that some as we go through this, Lord willing. But he starts out here, he says, seriously, seriously, verily, verily. That's what that means. He's saying, pay attention, pay attention. He said, this is something that you need to take serious. He said, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door to the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. He said, but he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. And to him the porter openeth. The porter is the gate warden, the one who holds the gate, the one who allows the gate to be opened and shut. Can I say tonight that here, whenever we see this picture, there's a lot of thieves and robbers that are out there tonight. That are out there today in this day and time in which we live. There's a lot of folks that they want to take God's precious word. They turn the grace of God into lasciviousness, is what the Bible says. And they want to take the precious word of God and they want to twist it. And they want to pervert it, and they want to conform it so that it's appeasing to man. Hey, I'm going to tell you, there's things in this Bible that go against my flesh. My flesh fights and wars against it. There's things in the Word of God that I don't like to hear. I don't want to know. I'd rather just do it another way. The Bible says there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, and the end thereof is destruction. You know why God gives us commandments? You know why He gives us His Word? And you know it don't bless Him one bit for you and I to just keep them commandments. You who gets the blessing out of it, it's you and I, amen. Yeah. And I will say this, if you sin against God and going against His Word, guess what? He's still God, amen. Yeah. He's still on the throne. You ain't took none of His authority. You ain't took none of His glory. You ain't took none of His holiness. You ain't took none of His eminence. You ain't took none of His omniscience. You ain't took none of His immutability. You ain't took away anything from God, but you take it away from yourself.
Right.
Yeah.
God gives us commandments because He loves us. Amen. Hey, to follow God and to obey God, guess what? It ain't as if that makes God who He is. Amen.
Right.
But God's who He is simply because He's God.
Yeah.
He gives us these commandments. He gives us His Word that we might live by it, that we might have life and have it more abundantly.
Amen.
I mean, it's obvious that going and killing and raping and stealing and all them things is not giving you an abundant life.
Right.
People that practice such things is quite miserable people. But also, being greedy don't give you an abundant life.
Right.
Being jealous don't give you an abundant life.
Right.
Or envious. Being a liar don't give you an abundant life. Being lazy don't give you an abundant life. Being gluttonous don't give you an abundant life. Anything that goes against the Word of God does not give us an abundant life.
Right.
So whenever I think about the miseries that I have, you know, it's so funny to me. you know, we'll get to be 55 years old and have a first heart attack. You know, the United States is leading in heart attacks in the whole world. I mean, does that surprise you? But we'll get to be 55, and you know, we'll have a heart attack. You know, maybe you have to get a pacemaker put in, and then we'll say, Lord, I don't know why this is happening to me. Well, maybe it's because you eat at McDonald's twice a week for your entire life. You know what I mean? I mean, like I said, really and truthfully, I mean, I'm not just talking about a diet, but I'm saying this, that in this body, understand this, that we'll pay for sin in this body, amen. We're going to pay for sin in this body. I remember one time laying in the bed and I was miserable and I was crying. And my youngins don't ever see me cry. They've seen me fall. They've seen me get hurt. They've seen me take blows. And they ain't never seen me cry hardly many times. I remember laying there and I tore my labrum in my hip and I couldn't sleep and I couldn't sit no which way. And I just get in an uncomfortable position. I couldn't get comfortable. And I remember just crying and crying because I was hurting so bad. Parker, he's a little old boy. I think he might have been about 8 years old. And he came down there and he got down on his knees beside the recliner I was in. He said, Daddy, can I do anything? I said, just pray for me, son. I said, just pray for me. I said, promise me, son, you won't ever get out there and live in the world, live like hell. I said, don't you know something, son? This is what I'm doing right now. I'm paying for my ways. I'm paying for the life
I said, anytime that I have to deal with things like this, I know what it's for. I don't have to wonder about it. I don't get mad and blame God for it. I know that ain't nobody to blame but myself. It's because I lived a rough life, and I'm going to have to pay for it. Amen. Hey, God wanted me to have life, and guess what? He wants me to have it more abundantly, and I can do that. All he says is, he says, I am the door. He said he's the door. Not only is he the door, but he's the good shepherd.
Yes.
He said that he'll come in. That means, you know what it means? That means that it's through Jesus, amen, and it's by Jesus, amen. So not only is it by him that I'm saved because he's the good shepherd,
amen,
but it's through him, amen, because he is the door, amen.
Amen.
The Bible said that through him the world was spoken into existence. By him all things exist, amen. He is the center of the universe. He is the center of everything in it. And guess what? The center of the universe, the center of everything that's ever been in existence, loves me.
Yes.
Loves you.
Yes.
Insomuch the Bible says that the good shepherd laid down his life for the sheep.
Amen.
Laid down his life for my sake. Laid down his life for your sake. You know why? Because he wanted me to have life. Because he wanted me to have it more abundantly.
Amen.
I'll tell you right now, the problems that I got ain't God's fault. The problems I got, they're my fault. They're things I got to deal with. Hey, in my short life, I've lost a lot of people I was close to. And I can't help but feel like that those things happen because of people that I've hurt in my life. I believe that God allows me to feel some of that pain just for me being low down and no good. But then, like I said, the people, I've lost people, and some of them's died. You know what? Because that's low down and no good. It's just like I said, it's part of God's plan. But I believe God allowed me to be close to a lot of those people just so I'd understand the pain and the suffering. It didn't have to be that way. Amen. I want to say this, youngins. You can have a whole lot better life under God. Amen.
Yeah.
You can have a whole lot happier life under God. I ain't just talking about diet and exercise. I'm talking about watching where you go, watching what you see,
yeah,
watching what goes into your ears. Careful what kind of information you're taking in.
Yeah.
Hey, I want to say this. Be careful how you let your attitude get.
Yeah.
Don't get bitter. Don't hold on to anger. Don't hold on and then not forgive someone over something. Think about what the Lord Jesus is forgiving you of. Can you imagine if I could take your mind and I could lay it out on this paper and I could read it like a script to everybody in here? I wouldn't want you to do that. I wouldn't want you to know what's in my mind. You wouldn't want me to know what's in your mind. I don't want to know what's in your mind. I still want to be able to preach to you. Praise God. I'd be scared to preach anything in here if I heard what's on all y'all's minds. Because you know I'd be picking on me, you know. But in any case, don't have to live a life of shame is what I'm saying. I'm telling you young people this right now. I'm telling you older people this right now. Hey, I want to say this. Understand this, that you might go through suffering. And you will go through suffering. You know why? Because this flesh wars against the Spirit of God. Amen.
Right.
And we will go through suffering. Guess what? If you're saved tonight, this is the only hell I'll ever know.
Yeah.
This is as close as I'll ever get is down here. That's why Paul said, to live is for Christ and to die is gain. Amen. He said, as long as I'm alive and I've got breath in me, he said, I want to preach the word. He said, I want to live for him. I want to be alive and tell people about Jesus. He said, the Lord, whenever you're ready for me to go, I'm ready to go. He said, whenever you call my car, he said, I'm ready to go. He said, I've finished my course. I've run my race. He said, I'm ready to have the crown that's laid out before me. Hey, I want to say this. You know why? He knew that. It's because, not because he was the Apostle Paul. It's not because of the experience he had on the road to Damascus. It's not because that he wrote all the letters to the Gentiles. It's not because he wrote the book of Romans. It's not because that he was an apostle and he preached with Peter and he was able to rebuke Peter at one point in time. People looked at him. It wasn't because of none of that. It was because the blood of Jesus has purchased for him eternal life and abundant life greater than the one that he had.
Amen.
Yes.
He says this. He says, verse number 4, when he put us on his own sheep, he goeth before them. First of all, we go back up. Verse 3 says, the porter, him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and then calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. You know that he is a personal God.
Yes.
I'm glad that he's personal to me. Yes. He's not just a God that's sitting by somewhere and that don't know my name like Richard Woody is preaching last week. The week he said, but he even counted the very numbers, the hairs on my head.
Yeah.
He doesn't just know the number of them. He's got them numbered, is what the Bible says. Amen?
Yeah.
That's what it says. It says the very hairs on your head are numbered. Yeah. That's what it means. That's what he says.
Yeah.
You think about that. There's 52,572. You know?
Yeah.
I can't pull many of them out. I'm asking you. Not all of us can be 71 and have a head full of hair, will you? But he said even the very hairs in your head are numbered. Amen?
Amen.
That's because he cares about you that much. He's a personal savior. He said he calls them sheep out by name. Any of y'all ever been to a chicken farm? Like an industrial chicken farm, like Case Farms, you know, got chicken houses. You know? I wanted to do that one time. At one point in time, I was in a farm for a living. I did. I thought that would be awesome. I didn't care about the smell of it and the, none of that. None of that bothered me. What kept me from doing it was this. I visited many of them, been there, and helped them, and worked on them, and was learning all about them. And I don't know. It just didn't feel right. Something about it just wasn't, it just wasn't the way that I wanted to farm. I still enjoy farming. I've had animals my whole life. We've raised sheep, you know. We've raised goats, and I've had chickens, and I've had ducks, and rabbits, and everything else, cows. But the way that they farm them chickens, you know, they got them in this building, and they're just all in there together, they feed them, and they water them. There's just nothing personal about it. You know what I mean? There's nothing personal about it. I don't help Dad so much with the sheep anymore. We've kind of moved Parker in that position. But at one point in time, I didn't have them sheep names, per se, but I knew every one of them. That'd be 150 out there, and I knew every one of them. You know why? Because I'd trim their feet. I'd worm them. I'd give them medicine. That's my kind of farm. I took care of them. You know what I mean? And whenever they'd come, I'd call for them. Somebody'd come up to me, you know, it's funny the way that we read this. If you've ever kept sheep, I've had most of my life. And it's funny. I remember when I was younger, somebody'd come over, you know, and they'd want to see the sheep, or somebody'd bring a young one over there, you know, and they'd say, can we get them up here? I said, well, get some of that feed and take it out there, and they'd walk them off to you. They'd get that feed, and they'd go out there, and then the goats would come running. Them sheep just standing there looking. I don't know you. You know, that's kind of the way they was. And I learned that they just wouldn't come to anybody. Literally, I'd have to go out there and I'd holler. I'd say, hey, sheep, 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 hey, sheep, sheep, sheep. If I went out there, if my daddy went out there and we hollered that, them sheep would come running. Meh, meh, meh. They'd come running right up there. You know why? It's because they knew her voice.
Yeah.
The same way he said, my sheep know my voice. I'm glad that I know his voice. And I'm glad that there's not another that I will follow. You know why? Because he saved my soul, amen. Hey, it's like somebody said one time, said, I was born in the fire and the smoke won't do. I'm going to say this, that there's plenty out there that's trying to deceive. Before I walked in deception and I lived in deception, and I was blinded, the God of this world blinded me with deception. But when God reached down and put a light in my path and he saved my soul, I was no longer under that deception. I heard the shepherd's voice. I went into his pasture. I became a sheep in his pasture. I grazed. That's just like David the psalmist wrote about the Lord. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. He said, I shall not want. He said, he leadeth me beside green pastures and walk me beside still waters. Hey, I want to say this. Whenever Jesus says this,
He says that, in verse number 9, he says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Amen. I'm glad that by him we can be saved and have life. He said that they shall go in and out and find pasture. That means that you find rest. That means that you find peace. I want to say this. In life, you can look for peace in a lot of things. You can look for comfort in a lot of things. And I will tell you this, you will never find it. You can search everywhere. You can turn over every rock you want to. You can go down every vacation. You can take every trip. You can make every dollar you want to. You can buy every new thing that you want to buy. You can shop online. You can have everything that you could possibly add to your cart. And you can do all that. And you'd still find yourself wanting. You'd still find yourself longing for something. He said that the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He wasn't saying I'm going to quit home. He said the Lord is my comfort. The Lord is my peace. The Lord is my substance. The Lord is what I desire. And you know what? That's what you desire as well. Even if you don't know it, even if you forget it from time to time, that's what's going to give you comfort. That's the only thing that's going to give you peace. It ain't going to be winning the next video game. It ain't going to be being the next professional whatever. It ain't going to be any of that. There ain't no award they can give that to you. There's nothing else that can replace what Jesus is. He said that he came to be the door and the good shepherd that we might have life and have it more abundant. An abundant life. So I ask you this tonight. Is your life abundant? Is your life abundant? You say, well, preacher, you don't know life. I've got this going on, got that going on. I got things going on. But is your life abundant? Because I want to say this, it can be. My life is abundant tonight. Because I know this is as close to hell as I'll ever be.
Yeah, amen.
My life is abundant tonight because I know that Jesus is enough for me.
Yeah.
Amen. I was telling you earlier, pray for my co-workers. Matt Mueller, for the last 6 years, I work beside him every day. Right here is my face, or I catch my mail, his is right there. There ain't nobody on this side. We talk about it every day. Sometimes he'd talk too much. Sometimes I talk too much. But I felt bad for him. I did. He lost his kids years ago. His wife left years ago. He's still getting kicked out. He'd do good. He'd go to rehab. He'd do good for a while. He'd relapse and he'd get back to drinking. I told him one time, I said, I feel bad for alcohol. I'm going to tell you why. A drug addict, when they go in the store, they ain't no meth sitting there on the shelf for $2.39. They ain't no cocaine right there for $1.99 in the face. But alcohol gets everywhere they go.
Yeah.
And it's accepted. I'm going to say this. I'm going to tell you, get something. Drugs will ruin your life fast as anything will. Fornication and drugs will ruin your life. Alcohol will too.
Yeah, right. Amen.
And understand this, that it is not no better than drugs.
Yeah, right.
It is not.
Right.
Matter of fact, you hardly ever hear of anybody that was high on some kind of drug and ready to kill somebody. But it's because they're drunk.
Yeah.
It inebriates you beyond what most drugs do. It's worse, is what I'm trying to tell you. Mm-hmm. Understand that. You say, well, why is it legal drugs? Ain't because the government makes money off of it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
It's because they make money off of it. I am not trying to advocate for the legalization of marijuana. Do not take me wrong about what I'm about to say. But the reason most states won't do it, because they'll do anything else, right? I mean, they'll let them have pornography, they'll let them have alcohol, everything else. So why do they fight the marijuana state? You think it's because of the moral? It ain't because of the moral. It's because they can't tax it. If you can grow a tomato, you can grow a pot plant.
Yep.
And so they can't get their money.
Yeah.
Because it's all about their money.
Yeah.
That's what the reason is. just so you know. But I want to say this. Don't ever give in to any of that. It'll absolutely wreck your life.
Yes, amen.
And it will always take you further than you want to go, and it'll keep you longer than you want to stay. A poor old friend, he didn't have nobody. He didn't have any friends much. And you can ask that, but he was down with you. And he's so depressed he wouldn't get out much. I've been to church here several times. And, you know, even though he said he's an atheist, he'd almost come to church just to have some friends and be around people. He said he'd like that. I said, well, you'll find that at church as long as you come. Anyway, he'd come to the house every now and then. He didn't have no family or nothing, so if we had any kind of dinner or anything like that, I'd always invite him. And sometimes he'd come. He was always friendly, you know. He'd usually make something, which I was scared to eat. But he really fancied cooking. That was one of his favorite things to do. Now, I don't know what got in his mind, but somewhere along the line, he just decided this life wasn't worth living no more. He didn't have any hope. He lost his hope. I see him Saturday. We talk. We laugh. Like it wasn't nothing. Monday he didn't show up. Now, between Saturday and Monday, I don't know what happened. I don't know what went through his mind. But I know this. He said he is saved. And I can't know for sure, but either way, I know this. That if you're a Christian or lost, either one, and sometimes even especially if you're a Christian, Satan can really manipulate the thoughts that goes through your head. He can't get in your head if you're saved.
Right?
Because you've been filled with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
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 So he can't get in there. But you know, he's been around a long time.
Yeah.
You know, he knew how to manipulate the smartest people that there ever lived from.
Yeah.
Adam and Eve. I mean, you think Adam named all them animals, all them plants.
Yeah.
Think about the knowledge that he had. He's able to manipulate Eve. She died. And since then, he's only done more and more to learn about you and I. So what I'm saying is this, is he can still manipulate. If he can, he'll put you in despair. He'll try his best to get you to a place where you feel like you don't have no hope. He'll try to get you to a place where you feel like there's no point. He'll try to get you to a place where you feel like, well, life's so bad, and this is going wrong, and that's going wrong, and all them negatives can pile up, and they can weigh on you, and they can get you down, and they'll get you out. I want to tell you this, if you're a Christian long enough, you'll get down and out. It'll happen. Like I said before, I never was down and out until I was a Christian. Like I said, I've had more sorrows since I was a Christian. Yes, I say all that, but I say this. I've had a more abundant life.
Amen.
I've had a more fulfilled life.
Amen.
And you can too. I've got a fulfilled life not because all of my circumstances are ideal, which I do count my blessings.
Amen.
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 I don't sit around and think about all the things that ain't going my way. I think about the things that God's good in. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And I figure anything else that happens, I deserve it and worse. Right?
Yeah.
Amen. You know, everything about this, I know I'm running around here. We're about to go. It ain't going to go away. It's all right. I'm getting here forever. You know this, that a lot of times we think that we're so prideful, is what I'm trying to say, that we go through something and act like we don't deserve it.
Right. Amen. Amen.
We go through something and say, why me, Lord?
Yeah.
Right? I don't have to ask that if I really think about it. I've been there before, and I've been in that position where I feel like that. How childish of me to be that way. I look back at that And times I get like that and I think, you know, just who do you think you are, Stoney?
Yeah.
That you would sit there and ask God that the clay would say to the thing formed, say to the thing it formed, divine hast thou made me thus. Have the potter not power over the clay. And guess what? He's not only the shepherd, meaning that he's the one that walks over sheep. He's the good shepherd, amen.
Yeah, amen.
Key word there being good, amen.
Yeah.
Guess what? When God deals with me and I have to pay for my sin in this body, it ain't what you're right. I ain't getting what I deserve. And what I deserve is a whole lot worse than what I'm getting.
Yeah, right.
Amen. God's merciful even whenever we go through trials, even whenever we go through troubles, amen.
Amen. Yeah.
Amen. Bible says to rejoice in tribulations also.
Yeah.
Though the tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience. Experience hope.
Yeah.
Hope maketh not ashamed. Amen. Mm. I hope that you have hope tonight.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. I want to keep my hope. Amen.
Hey.
It's easy to get down and out. This world is a tough place, especially for a Christian. It's not your home anymore.
Right. Amen.
If you've been saved, you're longing for a place that is not built with hands, men's hands. You're longing for a place that's greater than this. And so it's natural for you to feel uncomfortable here. It's natural for you to feel like you don't belong. It's natural for you to feel like things just ain't how they should be. They're not how they should be. But know this, we've got hope. And our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
While we're here to live is for Christ, we can live for Him. We can trust that one day He will call us home, but till then we're just going to serve Him. You know why? Because not just then, not when we get over there, but already starting right now from the moment God saved you, He gave you eternal life, amen?
Yes.
And guess what? It's just going to get better from here, amen? Yes. It's going to get better from here. Hey, I'm already living forever. He said that. And those believers said they'll never taste death, amen?
Yeah.
Right.
Amen.
That means I'm already living forever, amen?
Amen.
That you might have life and have it more abundantly.
Amen.
Amen. Well, let's bow our heads for prayer tonight. I wonder if somebody can have a song tonight that's in need and just say, Lord, I want you to pull back that veil. Let me sing the abundance. Give me some joy in my heart. I know that He wants to do and He's able. And we face things and we go through things, trials and difficulties that get us down, that hurt us. But we got a loving God.
Amen.
He knows us by name. He calls and we know His voice. He opens up and lets us come in and pasture, to find rest, to find comfort in a time of need. He's a good God. Thank His name, we ain't getting what we deserve tonight. But it's only getting better from here. I ain't old, but I'm getting to the age where I can start saying 20 years ago. That's a milestone, I guess. And I think about how long life seemed to me. And it's, you know, if you're older, 34 years probably don't seem as long as it does to me, but to me it's a long time, as long as I've ever known. But when I get up there and I've been there as long as Moses has, it ain't going to be that long. So no matter what I go through down here, no matter what I face, it ain't but a drop in the bucket compared to the eternal glory and wonder that God's got preserved for me and for all them who have been saved by His grace. Amen. Is your hope full tonight? Is your joy full? Are you able to rejoice in the goodness of God? Are you able to praise Him in your heart and in your mind? Because of His goodness. Satan buffeted you? Has your mind, your eyes been desiring peace and comfort? You've looked for it, you've turned over every rock, you've searched for it. I'm saying tonight the Lord has it for you if you come to Him and ask Him. As I pray tonight, if the Lord's touched your heart, you need to come to this altar, why don't you come? Thank you, Father, for loving us and being good to us and having mercy on us and helping us and being a blessing to us. Thank you for your mercy and your grace, your goodness, every minute, every hour. Forgive me, Lord, for failing you in so many ways, especially in my faithlessness. Lord, how I struggle, Lord, just to trust you sometimes. And I worry and I doubt and I fear. Lord, you've always given me great cause to trust you and have confidence in what you're doing. Lord, I pray, God, that you'd help me to trust you more, increase my faith. Thank you for being such a good God, Lord, and dealing with me mercifully in everything and every way. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us, Lord, to continue to serve. God, that you continue to encourage us. Lord, no matter what we face in life, may you, God, just be glorified in it. May we be able to praise your name, Lord, no matter the circumstances, that we just keep on bragging on you, bragging on the name of Jesus. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for putting us together, God, to worship together. And what a wonderful church family we have. And I thank you for it. I thank you for my wife and for my children. I thank you, Lord, for my mom and daddy. I thank you, God, for my job. I thank you, Lord, for my friends and for the rest of my family. I thank you, Lord, for being a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Lord, you never leave me. You never forsake me. You're with me always. Lord, I just can't even begin to name all the wonderful blessings you give me. I just want to praise your name. More than anything and everything that I face and go through, I know that I deserve much worse. And I thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your mercy and being with me even in them times. Lord, doing it not out of anger or bitterness, but Lord, you do it out of love. Lord, everything that I've went through, God, has been part of your plan. It's been out of love, God, that you might just be glorified in it. That you might draw me closer to you, Lord, that it must be a blessing to my heart. And I thank you for that. Pray, God, that you'd help us continue to serve you, to love you. Lord, that we would just be able to see the abundance that's in our life, God. Your blessings, your grace, your goodness, your love. God, that our joy might be full. It's in Jesus' name of that. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Next Wednesday, we'll be moving our service to Preacher Dwight's, Burns Memorial. Curtis Presnell is coming to preach a Bible for him up there. And he'll go through Wednesday night, so we're going to go support him. We're going to go up there, so be there.
Amen.
If you ain't sick, come on and join us. If you know Preacher Curtis Presley, you know he's going to preach, amen. And I know he'll enjoy it. And so if you're able to get up there, come on up there and join us. That's next Wednesday at 7. To answer your question from earlier, I plan on starting the series on family in October. I'm going to tell you why. Because Sunday, Dale Cable is coming. Wednesday, we're going to have service over there.
Yeah.
And the next Sunday is Youth Sunday, and Preacher Jesse Smart's going to be here. So I can't start it tonight on 3 week or 2 week hiatus. Yeah, y'all forget when we sure started. So Lord willing, we'll start that up probably the following Sunday. Hopefully, unless we're going to move to start on Wednesday, probably the following Sunday. But in any case, yes, help me pray about that.
Yes,
amen. All right, our hearts and minds clear. Amen. Preacher Billy, glad you could be with us tonight. Preacher, I love you. Would you dismiss us in a word of prayer?
Our Father, thank you, Lord, for your many blessings. I ask your blessings upon help them each time, Lord, see. Stand behind that sacred desk, Lord, I pray, God, that you give him the very message that we need to hear. Lord, we needed to hear this tonight, Lord, it was encouraging to us, Lord. Realizing, dear Father, that we have abundant life in you, God, our hopes in you tonight. Lord, we're not looking to the things of this world, God, we're looking to Jesus, the author and the finish of our faith. Lord, one day, dear God, you're going to call us out of here and take us home to be you. Lord, just help and lead, guide, and direct each one of us. Give each one a good night's rest. We'll thank you, love you, and praise you for all you've